You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your source for news and analysis of the Orioles from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Well, they did it again. The Orioles lost for the fifth straight time, and they're now 1-5 on the season. Wednesday, they lost a day game to the Astros 3-2 and wasted another good effort from Dylan Bundy. The offense is back in the slumber that we saw all season until Tuesday when they exploded for 6 runs and lost anyway. So right now, things aren't going too well for the Orioles. Of course, it's much too early to panic. We're just 6 games into the season, but they're now facing the Yankees in Yankee Stadium for a 4-game series. And with Bundy out of the way, the Orioles' pitching matchups don't look very good in that one. So we could easily see them come out of that series at, say, 1-9 or 2-8, something like that. And at that point, maybe it is time to start panicking. Because as I discussed with Luke Jones yesterday, it's really tough to get yourself out of that kind of hole when you don't have a lot of margin for error to begin with. The Orioles were looking at best case scenario of being maybe a contender for the second wild card. And to do that, they're going to have to win 85 to 90 games, probably somewhere in that range. And if you start out the season 7, 8, 9 games below 500 in April, it's really tough to win that many games. So we really could be looking at a season where the Orioles don't contend for anything realistically the entire year, assuming that they don't go in and surprise us in New York and win a few of those games and maybe get things righted. Not a fun time to be an Orioles fan right now, but they still have time to turn things around, like I said. In the meantime, though, today we're going to take a look down on the farm because things are a little bit more promising down there. So if you're interested in Orioles of the future, Bowie is going to be the place to look this year. We're joined today by Adam Pohl. He has been the voice of the Bowie Bay Sox going back about 5 seasons, and he's going to talk to us about Austin Hayes, Hunter Harvey, and some of the other Orioles prospects that are playing there. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We're joined now by Adam Pohl. He is the play-by-play man for the Bowie Bay Sox, who, of course, are the AA affiliate of the Orioles. And they open their season tonight against Harrisburg. First question for you, Adam, is how is the weather looking for tonight's opener?
You know, it's going to be a little bit chilly, Justin, but it's going to be, it's going to be dry. So that is very good. The thing is that Saturday, you know, obviously we have a week-long homestand. And I've been snowed out before, but never at home. And we're looking at a snowstorm Saturday, and I'm not really looking forward to trying to shovel the seats out at Prince George's Stadium. But it's pretty wild that the weather that's happened here in March and April. But overall, things are good. We're really excited about the start of a new year, and we've got a great team here to get things going, and hope to have everybody out to a Bay Sox game this year.
Yeah, you mentioned that they have a good team this year, and they certainly do. In terms of the Orioles, what's of most interest to me is that this team is loaded with a lot of the prospects whose names we've been hearing over the last couple of years and certainly over the last couple of months. I think by some rankings, they have 5 of the top 9 Orioles prospects, including some very familiar names like Austin Hayes and Hunter Harvey. So let's just start with those guys. What should we expect to see out of Hunter Harvey, for example?
Yeah, that's a good question because Harvey's been injured for the majority of the last 3 years. So nobody knows exactly what is going to happen per se. But the thing is that he has shown, whether it was late last year when he had success coming off of Tommy John surgery in the low levels of the minors in Delmarva in Class A baseball or in big league spring training, he has showed that the velocity is back. And that's the most important thing out of the gate. It seems like his stuff is back, and now he's got to work that rust off, and he's got to become the pitcher. Now, the big thing is that this is really kind of going along the lines of what happened with Dylan Bundy in Bowie 3 seasons ago, that you're going to see Harvey more than likely work only 3 innings to start out of the gate. He'll probably slowly work his way up after 5 or 6 starts, if I had to guess, to 4 innings, and then the 5. And what they're doing is not just to protect his arm, but also because the Orioles want him to be an option for them going forward, meaning that in June or July, you can call him up and he will have only thrown 40 or 50 innings because they don't want Harvey to throw more than 100 innings here this season. And because of that, they're in a way using this approach to try to kind of save him if he has great success to be a possibility for Baltimore down the stretch.
Now, do you know, are they planning to use him in the opening game, or are there any concerns about the weather? They'd rather wait until there's maybe warmer night to use him?
Yeah, you know, you would think in the minor leagues, you'd think, oh, Harvey would be a surefire starter for opening night. But generally, manager Gary Kendall has always kind of gone with more of a veteran guy. It'll be John Means, a left-hander who's been in Bowie for about a year and a half. That'll be getting the opening night start. And Harvey's actually going to start as the number five starter. And that might sound weird, but they've set it up that way. And I feel like it's another way of delaying him to kind of make sure that his innings stay down. So his first projected start would be a three-inning start on a Monday night against the Detroit Tigers affiliate Erie at home at in Bowie.
And so that three inning limit, that's pretty much in stone, right? I mean, it doesn't matter how few pitches he pitches, he's out after three.
Yeah, undoubtedly. But it's a part of, once again, the greater plan, because if they threw Harvey out there and he dominated Double A, and let's say he was going out there and throwing seven or eight inning starts, you would get to June and July and Harvey would be at 70, 80, 90 innings. And he would be in a spot where they would want to shut him down early, almost the Strasburg method from back in the day that we all remember the Nationals did when they went in the playoffs when he was a rookie. So what they're going to try to do is limit him. And obviously when he gets to the big leagues, if he has a good start to the year, you're hoping he would be between 50 and 70 innings at that point. And then more than likely Harvey would come out of the big league, or out of the bullpen, I should say, in the big leagues over the last month or two of the season. And I think that would more than likely be the goal. And then you try to ramp him up to be a starter or at least a part of the Orioles pitching staff next season. So we'll have to see. The most important aspect, though, is to stay healthy and to have success. And hopefully Harvey will be able to do that.
All right, well, a couple of other interesting names. Like I mentioned, Austin Hayes. Orioles fans are well familiar with him. He shot up the organizational rankings last year and actually spent a little bit of time with the big club in September. It didn't play a lot, but he was up there for a while. And he's back. He spent part of his year with Bowie last year, so fans down there are familiar with him already.
Yeah, and Hayes is such an exciting player because he's really an aggressive ball player. He fits that Orioles mantra, too, by the way. I mean, he's a guy that hits more home runs than you expect when you look at him. He's a guy, though, that doesn't block all that much. He's a very aggressive ball player. He's got some speed. He's got an outstanding arm, and that's why he's such a great fit. When you see people say that Austin Hayes could be a right fielder, well, it doesn't mean that he can't be a center fielder or a left fielder. What it means is that he's got the kind of arm that fits right field. But once again, he's an aggressive hitter. He hit more than 30 home runs in minor league baseball last year. He split last season between Advanced A Frederick and Double A Bowie. And I think the best way to put it is that he was the first member of the entire 2016 draft class to reach the major leagues. That is a major accomplishment. And Hayes was a third-round draft choice. So once again, you're looking at a guy that was drafted higher than 90th overall, and he made it to the major leagues faster than anyone else in his draft class. He's a really exciting prospect. Did get dinged up a little bit in spring training, so I think that may be a reason why he's starting in Bowie. But the Orioles love to have their prospects in Bowie. That's kind of another conversation that can go into length. But most guys in most organizations, Hayes would be in AAA. In the Orioles organization, he's going to start in Double A. They hope he gets off to a great start, and I wouldn't be surprised if Hayes is a guy they look to when Santander's Rule 5 clock, when Santander's a guy that can go back to the minor leagues and play, that Hayes could flip-flop with him. But that's just speculation.
Well, another guy that fans should be interested in is Ryan Mountcastle, who spent some time with the Orioles in spring training before being sent down for the minor league camp. And he's another guy you mentioned, like Hayes, who he's projected to be a good hitter, but he doesn't walk a lot. And that's one thing I know Buck Showalter said he wants him to work at in the minors.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, Mountcastle's a very aggressive hitter, but Mountcastle was a high school prospect. So you're looking at a guy that has reached Double A by the age of 20. And if you look at the list of players that have made it to Double A in the Orioles organization here this decade that were younger than 21, it's a pretty special list. I mean, it's guys like Manny Machado, Jonathan Scope, Chance Sisko, Eduardo Rodriguez, and now, of course, Ryan Mountcastle. So when you look at it, there are things that his game has got to improve upon. They want him to be a more patient hitter. He won the batting title, though, in the Carolina League with Frederick last year. He's 315. He struggled in his first stint with Double-A Bowie. So this is going to be a big opportunity for him because the biggest jump in the minor league, scouts say, is from the advanced A level to the Double-A level. You're going to see a lot of veteran ball players at the Double-A level in the top prospects in baseball. So Mountcastle is 21. The average age of a Double-A ball player is 24. So this is going to be a great test for him. I mean, Manny Machado hit 245 in Bowie. So if Mountcastle doesn't go out and hit 300, it's not going to be the end of the world. The worry about Mountcastle really, though, is, of course, his defensive aptitude. He played shortstop in Frederick and struggled. He does not have a very good arm. He played third base when he switched to Bowie last year. But it wouldn't be a surprise to me if long-term he's a guy that has the kind of power that's enough to hold his own as a first baseman, or maybe he'll become a left fielder. Not that third base is out of question, but undoubtedly he's got to take major strides forward to be a guy that's counted upon at the big league level playing there.
All right, so another guy who's down there is one of the top prospects, and it's outfielder Cedric Mullins. And he's somebody who I think a lot of people think may be the replacement for Adam Jones in center field, whether Jones ends up leaving via free agency or a trade this year, or whether he just has to go to a corner outfield slot at some point. What do we know about Cedric Mullins?
So what's really exciting about the Orioles system right now is you have these four outfielders that really are guys that are big league prospects. You put Santander on that list, and then you put DJ Stewart, who's starting the year in Norfolk, on that list. When you look at a guy like Santander is a guy that almost looks like a Victor Martinez build. When you look at a guy like Austin Hayes and DJ Stewart, they play baseball with such an aggressive nature. They're flying around like their hair's on fire. With Cedric Mullins, he's Mr. Smooth. He's got such a grace and ease to his game. He covers such great ground in the outfield. And in a way, he laughs about it, that it's almost like he makes the tough plays look easy. So he'll make a great catch in the gap, but it doesn't seem like he just made a great catch. Offensively, he's well shy of 6 feet tall, but he's a guy that hits for power. He's got speed, but he's not a dynamic base stealer. But once again, he's a guy that can hit the ball out of the ballpark. So he gives you a lot of different attributes. Once again, to be a leadoff hitter, you'd like him to walk more. He's not a huge on-base percentage guy, but he's a guy that can be a dynamic ball player. He definitely carried the Bay Sox at times early last season when he was rolling. So I'm really excited to see Cedric. He battled with a hamstring injury. Was on the disabled list twice last year, played 78 games out of a 140-game season. That's probably a main reason why he's back in Bowie this year to start. And we're hoping that Cedric can stay healthy. But there's no doubt that Buck Showalter is really excited because he's a guy that flashes and can really bring a big spark to Baltimore down the road.
Now, you touched on something there. You mentioned that there's a lot of pretty good outfield prospects in the organization. You've been around the Orioles minor league organization for a while now, and you were telling me before we started recording that this is probably as deep as your organization has been in a long time, isn't it?
It really is. I mean, when you look at the Orioles minor league system in the rankings by Baseball America, by Major League Baseball or MILB.com, you're looking at a system that's ranked right in the middle of the pack. The reality is the Orioles don't spend much money in the Latin market. And because of that, they're not going to have those elite 17, 18, 19-year-olds coming up from Venezuela and the Dominican. And it affects, these types of rankings. Where the Orioles have done well is they've done better late in the draft over the last few years. I mean, even when you look at a guy like Cedric Mullins or Jimmy Yacobonis, Donnie Hart, guys that have been able to make the big leagues, that just wasn't happening from guys that were lower than a 10th round pick years ago. So what has happened is that you're seeing more of a depth of talent within the organization. And even though you're maybe not seeing the superstar type talent like a Manny Machado or the excitement of a Matt Wieters when he was coming into the major leagues, the Orioles have more players in the minor leagues that look like they can be everyday big leaguers for a decent amount of time than they've had in my tenure, about a decade long in the Orioles system.
Now, we mentioned the four guys, Harvey and Hayes and Mountcastle and Mullins. Who else is down there? I know there's a couple of the other Orioles top prospects who are going to be in Bowie this year. What other prospects are down there that fans should be keeping an eye on?
So Keegan Aiken is a left-handed starter, second round pick in 2016. The Orioles have drafted in waves, if you will. In 2013, they drafted a ton of catchers when they knew that Matt Wieters could possibly leave in a few years. And in 2016, they drafted almost all collegiate pitchers. So Keegan Aiken is a second rounder. He was the MAC pitcher of the year, and he'll be making his AA debut in Bowie. He will start on Sunday afternoon for the Bay Sox. Saturday afternoon, but of course we're looking at possible snow for the Bay Sox, a left-hander at Prince George's Stadium. There's really a lot of guys overall when you look at the Bay Sox, even guys that might not be with the Bay Sox for a while. Stevie Wilkerson is serving a suspension right now. More than likely, he'll end up in Bowie after his 50-game suspension, and he was a guy that many thought might be in that Ryan Flaherty role for the Orioles this season. There are obviously other relievers. Lucas Long is a right-handed sinker bowler that had an outstanding year last year. He's probably the Bay Sox best pitcher over the long run last season. And if the Rule 5 guys struggle at the big leagues, Long could be a guy that could jump in and be a major league pitcher for Baltimore this year. So really, Bowie, the way the Orioles use Bowie, where they love to have so many former major league players that are kind of, as you put it, 4A guys that have been in the big leagues but have kind of fallen out in Norfolk. The Bay Sox usually have quite a crop of the Orioles' top prospects, and this year's no different.
So you tell us a little bit about this left-handed pitcher who's, I think, is ranked in the top 30 in the Orioles system, Luis Gonzalez. What do we know about him?
Yeah, you know, he's an interesting guy. He's a little bit on the older side, and he's one of the newcomers. So Luis Gonzalez was in Frederick throughout last season, but the Orioles really like him. I mean, there's a few of these guys that are on the rise, like a James Teague that closed so many games that's starting this year in Frederick there in spring training. But Gonzalez is one of them. He pitched in the Arizona Fall League, and that's a big deal because the majority of the Arizona Fall League guys are double-A players. So if you see that somebody got an opportunity to play in the Arizona Fall League coming from Frederick, that really means that the Orioles have an eye on them, and Gonzalez fits that mold. So I'm really excited to see. He's going to be coming out of the bullpen. I bet he'll be pitching in two-inning stints, and we'll see how he does, because, once again, that biggest jump in the minor leagues is when you go from Advanced A to Double A, and if he can handle it and have success, he's going to have to be a fast riser because he's a little bit on the older side, but he's definitely a guy to watch out for.
Well, it sounds like it's definitely going to be an interesting year in Bowie, and probably a lot more interesting than it's going to be in Baltimore the way things are going right now for the big league club. So, Adam, thanks so much for joining us today. I appreciate it, and hopefully you can come on back on during the season and give us some progress updates on these guys.
Undoubtedly. Anytime, Justin. I'd be happy to.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.